When our Lord speaks of bread today in the gospel, every word that comes forth in the mouth of God, of course, our Lord instituted the Holy Eucharist. And when we think of preparing for hard times, etc., we want to realize that the most important thing we can do is store up treasures for heaven. The surest way to do that is following our Blessed Mother's guidance, making good, profitable communions. Our Lord, of course, knew our weakness and foresaw these times, and notice how he provided daily communion in the early church, and unfortunately that fell into disuse, and you can see the sad consequences of heresy and schisms throughout the church history. And finally, Pope St. Pius X restored that much-needed medicine to daily communion and lowered the age to the age of reason. And it's not any specific age, it's just whenever children know the difference between right and wrong. They need that earlier because they have challenges earlier in life, especially today. Jesus, being God, he loved us, and he wanted us not to receive that grace in vain. And so it's important that we do our part to make adequate preparation and thanksgiving. And we need a remote preparation, and that's how we live. Is that Catholic or not? On a daily basis. Not just when we pray a rosary, but every day, all the time, whatever we're doing. Do we love God and neighbor or ourself? This greatly expands or limits the graces we receive in Holy Communion. How clever the devil is, trying to get us to center in self through all the modern conveniences and technology. And we have to remember what St. Teresa said. God rewards our love of our neighbor by increasing our love for himself in us. We need daily spiritual exercises to do this, to capitalize on the graces available in the Holy Eucharist. And not just in communion, and we should make sacramental communions as often as possible, and spiritual communions at least, when we cannot, and often in the day. But also visits to our Lord in the church if possible, or at least at the home enthronement shrine. As we all know, without exercise, our body gets weak and flabby, and it's the same in the spiritual life. We need those spiritual exercises, daily exam of conscience, the rosary, the meditation, spiritual reading, etc. And Lent is a good time to fine-tune these things to the needs of our soul, as our guardian angel will help us to understand. And we want to ask our Blessed Mother to help us. In fact, there is an excellent section in the back of St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion to Mary that talks about how to make a good preparation and thanksgiving. And again, it's important to note the time when you receive communion. And sometimes in bigger churches that can be, you know, for the first people that can be, you know, several minutes, but for those that receive last, it might be only 7 minutes more or less after Mass when the priests leave. But St. Alphonsus, a doctor of the church, he tells us we really should spend at least an hour making a thanksgiving to our Lord. If we can't do that a half hour, if we can't do that 15 minutes, but he says, no, that's not enough. We really should try to make at least a half hour thanksgiving. And if we desire to profit by that, that should produce sentiments in us of the love of God. We should grow in that. And let us think of the immense love with which God has shown in instituting this great mystery of his love, and his design to oblige us thereby to love him perfectly. And when I think about the reproof that Jesus gave to Martha, not being worried about too many things, should teach us not to be disquieted and wholly taken up with reciting vocal prayers, but we want tranquility of heart, we want interior recollection, to be able to listen to those inspirations from time to time in silence, like St. Mary Magdalene. And so that's really a good preparation, praying the prayers of the Mass and asking for God's help to spend the time that he wants with him as he wants, not as we would prefer. Let us never fail at each communion that we make to offer some pleasing sacrifice to our Lord. Let us promise him to apply ourselves to correct some defect, especially focusing on our dominant fault or sin. And let us bear in mind that we shall never feel the sensible effects of communion, which we should, if we are not careful to spend the rest of the day an interior recollection. That's why the devil wants to take us away from God through all the distractions he puts in our path. And be aware of those, try to avoid those. Coldness, sloth, dissipation of mind immediately after communion can never be habitual, and those who communicate often without being at the same time fatal signs of an unhappy state of soul, which is insensible to the greatest of all benefits and has therefore the more reason to fear in proportion that there's less apprehension and less realization of that unhappy state of tepidity and a false security by which the soul is tranquilized. Many, many people are victims of that today. Remember the laws of that if we're going to have proper communion, we want to be strengthened through penance, to open up, to subdue self, to open our souls to God. We have the laws of fast and abstinence, they're on the back of the bulletin, or usually on the bulletins or in the back of the calendars, catechisms. And we want to do this not because we have to, but because we want to, because we do it for the love of God. We want to subdue that enemy within us to serve God. But most people, when they hear of penance and death, they run the other way. How are those connected? What is the purpose? To make us sad, discouraged? No, penance is meant to help us to bring down the great enemy of our salvation, our own nature. And so we should not be afraid of penance. We should see it as a liberator, something that will help us to be less afraid of death, something that can help us to be nearer to God for all eternity. Remember what St. Peter of Alcantara and or St. John of the Cross had said, "Oh, happy penance, which earned for me such a great reward." Remember that if we are always thinking of our own gratification, we blind ourselves spiritually. But when we do penance, we can see better and more clearly what is important, what God wants, and especially we can see the practical way to follow Jesus on the way of the cross. But it needs to be done with generosity, with love of God. If it's done through drudgery, through formality, we greatly lose most or all of that benefit. And if we struggle with that, that's okay, that's human, that's natural. But by God's grace, we overcome and say no to that, and we work for that generosity, we strive for that love. When we start to do this, we fear death less because we become more prepared. Hopefully, all of us at death can repeat with St. Francis of Assisi, who quoted the psalm saying, "O death, where is thy sting?" And if we're detached from this world and the people and ourselves, again, we will see death as a liberator. Otherwise, we see it as something very, very burdensome, very trying. And it really boils down to what we love. If we love God, we will be prepared for death and see it as the end of our trials in the path of the God that we love. If we love this world and ourselves more than God, we will be sorry to leave that all behind and not have loved and obeyed God as we should have. And we see in the tract today, protection of God has assured us, but it's important to see the connection of fasting, abstinence, penance, to draw that protection down, to earn that protection. We open the soul to an infinite number of graces in the Holy Eucharist, which give us the strength and protection, freeing us from the carnal to be able to understand and pursue the spiritual. Let us ask our Blessed Mother then to have the Lent that she wants for us. Jesus, meek and humble of heart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.